the human remains have yet not been confirmed, but I still don't lose hope. My mother's on bed right now with impales. Why? Because they lied to our faces every single day that passed. Every single day, which is 2 months, more than 2 months. My sister Vanessa Guillen was sexually harassed, yet nothing was done to it. For her lacks of responsibility, safety, and respect, because they didn't respect my sister. They didn't keep my sister safe. They always try to cover up for each other. Why? My sister's a human too. She deserves respect. She deserves to be heard. Because if this can happen to my sister, it can happen to anyone else. My sister was also sexually harassed, and this led to this. They don't protect our suffrage, women and men. They're the ones putting their life at risk every day for the nation and for us, just like my sister. How can this happen on military base? How can this happen while she was on duty? How can this just happen? And they let it go under the rug like if it was nothing. They take sexual harassment, sexual assault as a joke. Just see the hashtag I am Vanessa Guillen. All those men and women in our service suffering from sexual harassment, suffering from sexual assault because they report it, yet they take it as a joke. My sister's no joke. My sister's a human being, and I want justice, and I want answers, because my sister did not do this to herself. Someone did it, and it's not one someone, it's various people. And if this can happen to my sister, what makes you think it can happen to other service women and men? They don't care about us. My sister's an example of it. My sister did not deserve to suffer. My sister did not deserve this. But yet I do not lose hope on God. Stop. Start, brother. And
you guys. That was Vanessa Guillen's sister that you just heard speaking of her sister's murder. Vanessa Guillen was 20 years old when she died. She was serving in the military in Fort Hood, Texas. And, you know, every time you hear, every time I've heard that clip, it like pulls at your heartstrings because of the emotion and the words that she was saying about her sister. Vanessa had been missing since April 22nd, and her family said that she told them before her disappearance that she was sexually harassed by one of her sergeants. And Vanessa did not want to report it formally because she was scared of retaliation. On Tuesday, June 30th, police in Killeen, Texas, found human remains near Leon River. And today, it has been confirmed that that was indeed Vanessa Guillen's remains. And I come here on the podcast today feeling very tired. Tired of debating about racism on social media. Tired of getting on social media and seeing black men being attempted to be lynched like I saw this morning. I'm tired of talking to people about race and them using but when we talk about it. I'm tired of the military not protecting their own. And I can just imagine if I'm tired, then I can only imagine what her sister, her other sister, her mom, her dad, her friends are feeling at this moment. Now, I just want to read off some stats from the Defense Department about sexual assault reports in the military. So the Defense Department fiscal year 2019 report on sexual assault in the military said that there were 7,825 sexual assault reports involving service members as victims or subjects. And that's 1 year. 7,825 sexual assault reports. The reports that are restricted were survivors confidentially disclosed an assault without starting an official investigation saw a 17% increase from last year with 2,126 reports. The increase shows what they said in the report, and I quote, a clear lack of faith in the chain of command. And that is exactly what happened with Vanessa Guillen, because like I alluded to earlier, she told her family she did not want to file a report formally. They told her, Vanessa, file a report. She did not want to because she knew that there would be retaliation, which there was anyway. Today, I want to talk about the why. I feel like we never talk about the why. We always talk about, you know, things that's surface level or that's obvious. The police are killing unarmed black men. That's not the why. That's an effect of the why. The military is not protecting their women. There's 7,825 sexual assault reports last year. But that's not the why. We're going to focus on Fort Hood. We're going to focus on the military taking accountability. That's not the why. Today, I want to focus on the why. And that why is the culture that we have created between men and women. Kelly is a female, obviously. And I'm sure that she has, you don't even have to answer this, but I know for a fact she has faced or seen or experienced some type of sexual misconduct toward her or other females in the workforce. I go to work. I see it. Everybody with a job that works with females and has males in the dominant position, they see it. We have to create safe spaces for women to work in. Just not, forget work in, to be in, to live, to breathe, period. When women go for a jog, it's like anxiety. Am I going to get home? Is somebody going to stop and try to rape me? In everyday life, girls have to go together in packs because they're scared. I saw on Twitter a man asked, ladies, what does it mean when you give a man your number? And a girl replies, sometimes it just means I'm trying to stay alive. Think about that. I'm trying to stay alive. That's the reason I gave the number, because if I turn this man down, his ego is so fragile that he would have tried to inflict pain upon me because I rejected him. You can't even say no as a woman without fearing literally for your life.
It's funny that you say this. I could go into all the different types of things, but I mean, a perfect example, and I know that you've seen me talk about it on social media. Mm-hmm. Last year, I was approached at the Houston Rodeo by somebody who not interested in at all, but was almost fearful, not even just for myself, but my friend, and it was just me and her. And he asked for my number, and I give my number out to literally anybody who asks. And I hate when especially other women are like, why'd you give your number? But men are the ones that say it the most. Why'd you give your number out? Why? Right. You could have easily not. Do you know? Do you even know? Right. Like if I just knew looking at this person that he was the type that if I didn't give him my number, something was going to happen. And mm-hmm. since that day, I have been called numerous times, blocked 7 numbers. He'll call me from AT&T phones. Like, we are fearful of literally everyone talking about walks. I always, you know, with gyms being shut down now, my trainer's like, I want you to do walks, like even if it's just walking around your community. Okay, well, I don't want to do it during the middle of the day because it's 100 degrees out, but I don't want to do it at night. And I was taught never walk at night with headphones in, ever.
Right.
Because you don't know if somebody's coming up behind you. But I feel like men don't have that issue. Mm-hmm. We have to, like, when we leave grocery stores, we have to either have our phone or, like, a mall, per se. Always have your phone on you. Always watch all of your surroundings. People will leave stuff in your windshield so you will get back out of your car, or people are underneath your car waiting. I mean,
the number one place it probably happens is gas stations.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And I mean, it's me and Stephanie were on Twitter yesterday laughing because this girl posted this video and she was like, me having to look mean so nobody will talk to me at all. And we were laughing, but it's laughing because it's like, this is really what we have to do. We have to put on a persona or look mean or do something. And even then, it's still not enough.
Right.
You know, so and we could get into the whole conversation about work life and all of that stuff. I mean, it is in every aspect of our lives, not even in a sexual way. But I used to go to trade shows and people in different countries view women as one certain way. We are there to make your dinner and to cater to you. And I had worked hard to get to the position that I was in. And a man blatantly disrespected me by basically saying, I'm not going to have conversations with you. I know that your ears just perk up when you hear about money. So people want to continue to say that women have the same experience that men do, and that's just never the case. And I don't know if it ever will be the case.
Not even close.
Not even close. So, but that was. Let me get off my.
Right. No, get on it though, because it's necessary. And lately, I have been on this tip of trying to change how men. Would it be boys that grow up to be men are taught about how to have a relationship with a woman. I think, at least in my experience, you know, sex was heavily pushed in when it came to a woman. You get a girlfriend, you know, just say middle school, it starts. What y'all doing? Like, you did that, boom, boom, you hit her, like, you had sex yet? Then it comes to peer pressure, because they were raised the same. You know what I mean? And then you grow up not seeing women as a human being, but as an object. That's why some men can trick themselves into hurting a woman, because they're not seeing you. You know what I mean? They're not seeing Kelly. They're seeing your physical.
Exactly.
And and when you grow up that way, and I don't want to get too deep, but it's a little spiritual. That's just how you, and that lust and all of that comes out, and it's hard to get over. So with my youngest brother, because I was probably, with my other two older, I'm the oldest, but the two under me, I wasn't as mature as I am now about the subject. So I didn't really drill into them like I am to him, but I'm trying to get him to just like completely like grow up differently. You know what I mean? Like see a woman as a person instead of an object. And I think when you have that mindset, then you have situations like Vanessa Guillen, right? And I have to watch what I say. I've been in a workspace where a woman has complained about a man on the job and nothing got done at all.
Yeah. Or they're fearful to say anything.
Yeah.
Especially with, and I guess I have to watch what I say mm-hmm. too. The Me Too movement has brought out two different crowds. There's people mm-hmm. who are all for women, and then there's the people who are, well, why didn't they come out sooner? Why, right. you know?
For the same reason she didn't.
For exactly. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that I know I have been in this situation. A ton of my friends have been in this situation. You know somebody. Mm-hmm. Everybody in this room probably knows somebody who's been in this situation. But it's like, oh, well, did it hurt me that much to where I want them to lose their livelihood?
Right.
Do I want it to get out and for everybody to assume that I am a certain way? Mm-hmm. For somebody to approach me in that manner, maybe they're going to assume that I did something to egg it on type right. situation. So I can understand exactly where Vanessa was coming from. Mm-hmm. But what men are going to have to realize is that women are different. We are now becoming, we're getting into an era where women are fed up and we're tired and we're getting frustrated. Mm-hmm. And what I want eventually to happen is for all women to be on the same side. I still am seeing women comparing women or not being for women. Like, really right now is the time for us to, like, stand up and make a change, because it's getting ridiculous and people need to be held accountable for their actions. And along with Vanessa, there's a long list of others who haven't received their justice or were forgotten about. And it's time to speak about them, and it's time to do something to make.
You had another name of a.
Yeah. So I actually wanted to bring up another case that I didn't even know about until all of this stuff came up. And so that's mm-hmm. why I want to continue to say these people's names, because I don't want them to ever feel like they were forgotten. Mm-hmm. And so this one was Lavina Johnson, and she was found dead in her tent in Iraq in 2005. She had a broken nose, loose teeth, burns from chemicals on her private areas to cover evidence of rape, black eye, and a gunshot wound, and the government still ruled her death as a suicide, and she was only 19 years old.
Wow. And just before we went on air, I came across another story on Instagram. So it's, okay, I have to speak to hypocrisy, because we are supposed to be all about our troops. Everywhere you hear the commercialization of troops, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like the military paying the NFL to play the national anthem at the beginning to show it on TV for recruitment purposes. You know, 9/11, we remember that. When Colin Kaepernick took a knee, oh, you're disrespecting the troops. But when the actual troops are getting killed by people inside of the military, you're silent.
Silent.
I have not seen one person that was talking about Kaepernick disrespecting the flag or the military come out and say anything about Vanessa Guillen. I have not seen mm-hmm. one person. But you're patriotic, right? You love the military, right?
Exactly.
This woman was fighting for your country.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Which, you know, and it's just like her sister said in this insert, mm-hmm. there are, I feel like becoming a soldier is genuinely a selfless act, because you are literally putting your life at risk to mm-hmm. protect our rights in our country. But where is that same respect when soldiers go missing? Where is the same respect when they are telling you that they're being sexually assaulted?
Right.
Where is the same respect when your veterans are underneath the highway having to ask for money?
Yes.
Where is the same respect?
Where is it? Because that just leads me to believe that you're using that to rebut against something you don't agree with. When in actuality, you don't really care.
Yeah.
Because,
but they'll say the same thing about them underneath the highway. They'll disrespect a veteran mm-hmm. by saying, go get a job. Mm-hmm. When they did probably the toughest job that you could sign up for.
Right. Period.
Period.
Period. And so it is, we have to create these safe spaces. You see it too often, and it's for women to have to just go through all these precautions just to exist. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to give me, I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but I want you to give me a tour in your head when you're going out. Like, what is your thought process when it comes to men? Like, when you dress a certain way, do you feel like I need to, like, maybe cover up a little bit? Mm-hmm. Or when you're around men, okay, I need to stay close to my girls. I need to have my mace. I need to take me through your process of when you go out.
It obviously starts before you even leave the house. What mm-hmm. type of outfit are you going to wear? What type right. of vibe are you going to give off? Which mm-hmm. it's a shame that we can't even just want to dress good for ourselves without being like, is this going to provoke somebody?
Right.
Hmm. Or maybe just be a man and be respectful. Yeah. I don't know. Anywho. So then we'll go out. Mm-hmm. And the fact that all of my girlfriends know if we are in a bar, if we are standing around, if the area is crowded, you always hold a glass and put your fingers over it and let the straw come through because Lord knows anybody could slip anything.
Right.
I am paranoid about, I genuinely have to, I mean, with everything that's gone on in my life, I have a fear of men in all, you know,
in all aspects.
Mm-hmm. So, but it is definitely heightened if we are out downtown or if we are doing anything. It could be broad daylight. If I'm walking down a street and I see a man, I'm going to be on more of an alert. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure that, like, all of us are in a line.
Right.
For example, let me tell you. We were South by Southwest. We were in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
We were walking down. To be fair, it wasn't a good street. But we were walking down the street, and it was a bunch of us. It was me and my two girlfriends, and then we had a couple guys with us. And this guy just, like, starts walking up next to me, and he's, like, in my face. He's, like, licking his lips. He's making me super uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Stephanie says, can you stop looking at her that way? And this guy lost it. I mean, screaming in our face, all of this stuff. So I pulled back against the fence because I didn't want him to be behind me anymore. I pulled up against the fence, and I grabbed the guy's hand that was mm-hmm. with us. To, like, hold his hand to make that guy almost, like, I don't know, why I have to be like, oh, I have a boyfriend, please leave me alone.
Yeah.
If I'm not interested or we're telling you to leave me alone, leave me alone. It made him even more mad, and the guys that we were with dipped. So this guy is just straight yelling at our in our face, and this is the
so
perfect
they left
example.
Y'all there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, but this is a perfect example of, well, why did you give him your number? I mean, I literally am, like, cornered myself against a fence.
Mm-hmm.
He's yelling in Stephanie's face, which, you know, Stephanie, like, she probably immediately regretted saying anything in the first place.
Right.
It took a guy across the street to, like, run over and hold the guy back enough for us to get a street over for, you know. But you can tell when somebody's looking at you, but when somebody's looking at you like a piece of meat. And that was one of those days. And, I don't know. I just feel like that's why it's terrifying when women do go out and drink. And that's usually when people are saying, like, this is a time to be more cautious, is because when you do drink, those senses to be on alert are foggy.
Right.
And you're not paying as much attention. And trust me, I've had my nights, you know, down in Midtown when I was younger where somebody contacted me and said, hey, I saw you. My crazy ex that we did a podcast about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had no idea. And he's like, I was trying to talk to you the whole time. And it's like, it's terrifying to know that for that night, who knows what could have happened mm-hmm. when I wasn't, I don't know. We just have to be careful with everything that we do. We can't drink too much.
Right.
You can't even really honestly trust the men that you're with. I used to have a friend who mm-hmm. took me home one night and then tried to, like, make his way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I genuinely was like, oh my God, thank God I have a friend like this. He mm-hmm. made sure I got home. And then you do that right after.
Yeah.
It's like, who are we supposed to trust? So even the people who claim they're your ally.
Right. Yeah, man. And what does it say about leadership? The report said 2,126 reports. Said they wanted to keep it confidential because because the leadership, they had a lack of faith in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also, guys, why representation is so important. people think that, oh, you know, black people or women or Mexican or whatever are just crying about being represented. It's no, because if a woman or women were in a leadership position in the military, chances are you wouldn't have as many of these problems.
I don't know, because I don't know if you saw the post of one of the sergeants who was a woman and the things that she was saying.
I did see that.
So to be fair, it goes back to say, who's going to make this change?
Yep.
Because you sent me...
Because she's scared of retaliation if she comes out and says something opposite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it goes back to, you know, you sent me a thread and it was another woman who has been trying to tell her story for the past 18 months. Talked about she was raped on Fort Hood on the actual, you know, base. Yeah. By an active duty soldier, and she says that the police station for Fort Hood failed her as well. Mm-hmm. They essentially gave her a horrible experience the whole entire time, which, you know, if anybody who has been raped, I'm sure going to and testifying against your rapist in the first place is a very hard thing to do regardless. But for
and
you
to relive it.
To explain it, to get a rape test done. I luckily don't even know what goes into having a rape kit done, but she goes to confide in them and they make her sit for 90 minutes before they even take her in. And for those 90 minutes, you are replaying everything that ever happened. Mm-hmm. You're replaying all of the consequences that could happen from going and telling, just like Vanessa thought about. And, it's just crazy to me that people just play off all of these situations like, oh, can you wait? It's almost like when you go to the ER and something is, you know, like, I think I'm dying. We'll sit here.
Right.
We're hoping you make it. We're hoping you're going to make it for the 2-hour wait.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
it's unfortunate. All across the board, we just need to do better with protecting our women. And I talked about this on the previous podcast, the podcast before last time with my mom's, about protecting women. Like, you see videos of them hitting women with skateboards and men just sitting there laughing.
Oh,
really?
My gosh. I know.
Like, are you, see?
I know.
But, yeah, it is wild. And people, remember, everybody, like I said at the beginning, the conversation will be about Fort Hood, the military, but let's focus on the culture we have created. That's the reason why this stuff happens. And to close this segment, I want to quote Tupac in his song, Keep Your Head Up. He says, and since we all came from a woman, got our name from a woman, and our game from a woman, I wonder why we take from our women, why we rape our women, why do we hate our women? I think it's time to kill for our women, time to heal our women, be real to our women. And if we don't, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the ladies who make the babies. All right, time to get into some hot topics. So, first, we are talking about the hot topic in the celebrity world, Will and Jada and August Alsina. Oh,
yeah. Why did you lie about August?
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, August Alsina is an R&B singer. And he did an interview with Angela Yee. He did an interview with Angela Yee. And in that interview, he eloquently alluded to him having a relationship with Jada Pinkett Smith, who is Will Smith's wife, and Will Smith giving him the blessing to date his wife while Will and Jada are still married. Now, I must say there have been rumors for years that Will and Jada are swingers, but nothing ever confirmed. We didn't know for sure. So when August came out with this story, everybody was like, maybe it is true. It took everybody by surprise, honestly. Because I remember watching the Red Table Talk episode when he was on there talking about how Jada helped him get through his addiction and all that. So I thought it was more like a mother-son kind of relationship, mm-hmm. but I guess not.
Well, and then before we
and get all into this is alleged, I gotta say, you know, gotta say that allegedly. Go ahead.
Until she gets on the table, ma'am. We're waiting. Right. Please drop the episode. But and then it just goes to show, I feel like there has been so much in August's life. I mean, just recently he had lost, I think, the ability to walk and was in the hospital for quite some time.
Thank you, sister.
And he's now taking care of his niece and nephew, I believe, as his own kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really has just a track record of having a lot of stuff going on in his life. You and I have talked about it a little bit, and I'm just curious on what you think of the situation, because you know how I feel.
What do I think of the situation? Assuming it's true. I kind of knew something was up, but I thought it was just them being super deep because they're Will and Jada, they're like super deep people. When they were like, they don't refer to themselves as married anymore. Mm-hmm. They're life partners. And then Jada dropped a clue on Red Table Talk when Will was the guest. She said, "I don't care." It's exactly what she said. I don't, and you listen to it now, you're like, aha. But she said, "I don't care if I'm on the other side of the house with somebody else and you on the other side of the house with somebody else, as long as we in the house together." But I don't feel any type of way about it. The only thing I would think about, I mean, because it's their situation. Mm-hmm. And you could talk about what the problem you have. But other than that, well, I'll let you talk about that. And assuming that the kids knew, if the kids didn't know and they think that August is like a brother to them, and then they have to find out on social media that their mom was sleeping with this man, then that could be something for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Poor Willow and Jaden.
And
the family. Like, Jaden is always referring to somebody else as his dad. Like, your dad is Will Smith. Like, what are you doing? That's another topic, but go ahead.
So I'll start off by saying I had, or I guess I still have, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. respect for Jada, just because I feel like she is doing something that a lot of people aren't doing, and that's bringing them to the table and discussing things that either were too uncomfortable to talk about, or she is bringing people out of the comfort zone to heal. But something about this doesn't sit right with me. Because I almost view the situation as her grooming. And I just want to read the definition of grooming to anybody who might not fully understand. Grooming is the process during which a child's sexual offender draws a child in by gaining his or her trust in order to sexually abuse the child and maintain secrecy. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think that to the fullest extent that she is a child abuser, but I do feel that she could have potentially groomed the situation, mm-hmm. taken the fact that he was in need of healing and a spiritual advisor and stuff like that. And with the age difference, and, you know, trust me, there's a ton of people who are with older women, vice versa. I just don't know. Knowing her, knowing all of the conversations she's had with people, knowing how she has been that for other people, mm-hmm. with him, it just doesn't sit right with me. And of course they say stuff like targeting the victim, gaining the child's trust, filling a need, which he needed, mm-hmm. Isolating him, sexualizing the interaction, and maintaining control.
If she was a man,
this,
and it was all the way around,
and that's what I'm saying,
it would be all hell breaking loose.
Yeah. So I will be interested to see what she has to say. And I think that all of us really do not care about the details. It is their business at the end of the day. But if you are going to come to the table to have a discussion, make it honest.
Period. So, Kanye West. It's funny how I said that and everybody started laughing in the room.
Yeah.
But Kanye West announced that he's running for president this election, which is scary. And here's why it is scary to me. Because Kanye has made it known to the world that him and Trump are boys. You see Kim, Kanye all up in the White House, cheesing, you know. So to me, Kanye knows that he's not going to win. So to me, they're in cahoots to split the vote to where it works in Trump's favor. Because there will be people, just like there were people in 2016 who voted for Harambe, who wrote, you know, the gorilla in the ballot. Mm-hmm. You know, there will be people who vote for Kanye, like his stans, his hardcore fans. He will get that vote. So it's scary. Like, people are joking. Like, I see people like Elon Musk. I'm backing him up. Or these people, you know, saying I'm voting for Kanye. I'm like, this is not a game. Like,
yeah, the scariest thing about it all is that I genuinely think that he's being serious, because he has been pulling this for how long? Yeah. I mean, let's think about it. He pulled it back in, what, 2015? Mm-hmm. Then he backed up off of it for a bit, said that he wasn't going to until 2024.
He's
cleaning up his act.
Right.
We really haven't seen him. We haven't heard from him. So I genuinely think that he thinks he's doing something.
Actually,
but it's exactly what you said.
Yeah.
At this point of, you know, I might have a little bit more respect for it had he come from the very beginning,
right,
from all the presidential debates, all of that stuff. If he had come correct,
like, you come at
maybe
the
we
end.
Might. Yeah. Then I know that this is a joke.
Right. Has to be. Hopefully. Hopefully, but like you said,
it might be serious for him, but he's a joke.
The one thing that he said that drew him to Trump is the fact that nobody thought Trump could win, and he won. That's what he said drew him to Trump. Like, Trump is not supposed to be in the White House. I love that.
Yeah.
And so he probably thinks that.
But I think he's also trying to capitalize on the moment where, like me, I'm sitting here thinking, oh my God, our two options are Trump and Biden.
Right.
What?
So Kanye, I saw this graphic. It was like, it had Trump, then it was like 75 years old, this many rape allegations, blah, blah, blah. Then it had Biden, 70 something years old, this
and
many rape allegations. Then Kanye, 22 Grammy Grammy winner, 22-time Grammy winner, sold this many records. So I was like, man, people are really doing this. We need to end this. If you do not have political experience, stay out of politics.
That's why
you cannot go in real life and go to a job that you're not qualified for. If you showed up to be an accountant and you have no accounting experience, they go, are you serious? What are you doing here? Like, you don't have nothing on your resume that screams politics?
And it makes me curious. Yeah. I mean, I enjoy Kanye's music, but I've never been a diehard. I mean, I'd go to his concerts and all that stuff, but I could easily cut him off if real quick.
Easily.
Does this make you
and then his
reconsider?
Music is not as good anymore anyway, so it's going to be really easier for me to do it.
Yeah, but it makes me wish that I could talk to somebody who was diehard, who has been keeping his notification, you know, for tweets on. Does it make you question him as a person that he could honestly, because for me, I just can't see it other than being a joke.
Yeah.
Like, is the country a joke at this point? With everything going on right now, you think that you are our answer?
Yeah.
And that's why it just makes me wonder, like, oh my gosh, I'm scared.
Yeah. I think I have a love-hate relationship with Kanye. I really do. Like, on one hand, I feel like he needs an interpreter because I feel like he can't express himself the right way. I feel like he has great intentions, but the things he says, horrible. Comes off horrible. He needs somebody to translate for him.
Well, I'm wondering what the good intention is
coming
into the race.
Yeah, I'm not talking about this
July
one.
4th.
This is totally like, this is a joke. This is a joke.
Yeah.
Other things he says, you know, you have to sit back and kind of read between it to really find out what he meant.
Yeah.
Or he'll come back later and explain it, you know. So I have a love-hate relationship with Kanye West. Hopefully he gets his act together, and hopefully we won't have two straight first ladies who were porn stars. Anyway, so moving on to... no disrespect, Kim. That was just a joke, you know, just doing comedy. You know, you're doing your thing. You turn that situation over. You're worth $900 million. Now you're a great businesswoman. You're doing things with criminal justice. So no disrespect, Kim, just in case we meet down the line. So
she has that portion saved to her phone.
Yeah, I know, right? He said, I need Chris to manage me one day too. But okay. So speaking of presidency and the climate of the country, and President Trump did his favorite thing he likes to do, tweet. So he tweeted this morning. Background before I say this. Bubba Wallace situation where they found the noose in his, I guess it's their version of a locker, NASCAR.
Well, it's like a garage.
Yeah, like a garage. Yeah,
for their
like
car.
The garage. They found it, you know, NASCAR rallied behind him, and the FBI investigated it after, and it showed that it was there from previous years, and they called it a hoax or something like that, which it still is a noose. I don't care when it was put there. That's a noose. You don't tie something like that. That's a noose. Mm-hmm. I don't care when it was put there. But that's beside the point. I just wanted to give you some background on this tweet from Donald J. Trump. So he says, has Bubba Wallace apologized to all those great NASCAR drivers and officials who came to his aid, stood by his side, and were willing to sacrifice everything for him, only to find out that the whole thing was just another hoax? That and flag decision, the flag decision he's alluding to is them making the decision to remove the Confederate flag from NASCAR. That and flag decision has caused lowest ratings ever. Couple of things about that tweet. How in the hell did the other NASCAR drivers risk anything?
By
Bubba Wallace was
him.
The one getting death threats. But they risk everything for him.
Yeah.
I'm confused. Make it make sense.
Well, also... I like how he has to throw in that since the flag has been removed,
yeah,
the rating.
Lowest ratings ever.
First of all, who's watching NASCAR anyways? So sorry. Right. Like, come on. But if the flag removal is what did it for you, sweetie,
exactly.
Like, do I have
Let's
some
talk.
News for you? Like,
right.
I just, I don't know. I think he's delusional.
Yeah, I think he is so...
Has he talked... I don't follow him on Twitter, nor do I want to ever follow him. has he talked about the Fort Hood situation at all?
Besides
finding her remains?
I have not seen one tweet about Vanessa Guillen on his Twitter.
Interesting. Seems we have bigger things to be talking about than
Way
an apology
so
or
I'm
the Confederate
flag. I'm going down this thing right now,
removed.
And what I see is corrupt Joe Biden. The Democrats don't want to open schools in the fall for political reasons, not for health reasons. Why does the lamestream fake news media refuse to say that China virus, that's what he calls it, China virus, deaths are down 39% and that we now have the lowest fatality rate in the world? This is what he's talking about. The Democrats would have not banned travel from heavily infected China, especially so early. Therefore, far more people would have died. Corrupt Joe Biden now admits this.
Again,
that's his Twitter feed.
They confirmed just yesterday the actual confirmation that those body parts were hers. So if within the last day he has not said anything,
nothing.
He's not going to.
No.
I'm tired of hearing of coronavirus. I know that we have bigger issues at hand than you calling the China virus.
Right.
Over
are
and over,
you
or
worried
whatever.
About an athlete?
Like,
why are you meddling in that? Just like he meddled in the Kaepernick situation, the kneeling
like
thing.
Like that has gone.
You're
has
the
passed.
President. That should be
well,
beneath you.
Well, but it's
you.
Like just the Jussie Smollett situation.
Yeah.
He, however you say his
Jussie
name.
Jussie Smollett.
Yeah.
David Chappelle.
He talked about it over and over. Yes. Okay, yes, we get it. He screwed
lied.
Up.
Yeah,
he lied.
He did.
And he made an ass of himself. And he's going to have to face that for the rest of his life.
For sure.
But, and then it's like, you here you are doing it again because you're trying to say that I guess he pulled the same stunt, which who's to say that, you know?
He is the most divisive person on planet Earth. Here he takes a situation of solidarity when all these white NASCAR drivers are rallying behind their one black,
the only
black,
yeah,
driver in their sport, and they're rallying behind him. It's a unifying moment. He takes
time that we're in, mm-hmm, is exactly what that, yes, is the only time that I have heard the NASCAR sport, say that with air quotes, has been talked about.
Yeah.
Usually you couldn't tell me when, like, I don't know when, right, they have races. I don't know any of that stuff, but that was a time that they had.
Nice.
Yes. I'm like, and that's Ricky genuinely Bobby. How, yeah, I see all those drivers. Yes. So sorry. Yeah. But, I have not heard anything about the NASCAR sport, yeah, until that situation happened. And it was exactly what everybody was wanting to see, was everybody standing together. And it was a form of unity in a time where a lot of us haven't seen that right now. And then he took that situation, like you said,
right,
and he's completely just ripped it to shreds.
Ripped it. If you tear down statues, you're getting the ultimate penalty.
Yeah, and then he continues to wonder why we have an issue with him.
Right.
I feel like he is continuously fighting these people on Twitter. He's literally fighting with himself. It's a brick wall because all of us are laughing at him, and we don't know who he's talking to, but it's always the lamestream media, okay?
Trump.
It's him fighting with everyone.
He talks to his segment. The rest of us don't matter. Whatever they want to hear, he's going to say. He had he did not foresee this coming. He just knew re-election was going to happen. The stock market was high. Unemployment was low. All this stuff was going great. He just looked forward. And then this little thing called coronavirus came out of nowhere and bit him in his ass. And he had he still has a perfect opportunity to put the public in his favor. You have a national pandemic. And then after that, you have this thing that happens with George Floyd that has everybody upset. That is the perfect time as a leader of the country to come through, because we want to hear, not from him, usually, we want to hear from the leader of the country. If he would have came and handled the coronavirus the way it should have been handled, and handled the protest the way they should have been handled, instead of making even more divisiveness, he would have won in a landslide.
Well, yeah, I think that everybody, well, I say this with a grain of salt. I think anybody would be interested or open to hearing him,
mm-hmm,
say, I've learned more about the situation and I was wrong.
Yeah.
But it's just like you said, he turns everything into
division. Yeah.
So when coronavirus happened, instead of just handling it, it was a competition on,
yeah,
can US do it better than China, yeah, can they do it better than the UK? Can they do it better? You know,
we're doing so good, so many numbers,
and we're losing.
Yeah,
the graphs show.
Yeah, exactly.
The George Floyd situation, the perfect opportunity
to bring
us together.
Right,
and instead he starts attacking the looters.
Yeah,
and the protesters.
Right.
And now we're all thugs.
Yeah.
Going to send a National Guard.
Just saying stuff that don't even make sense. I'm going to send a National Guard, and you can't do that without the state's permission.
Yeah.
First of all.
So, I mean, yeah,
the NASCAR situation.
Then you have to laugh because, yeah, then he goes to Tulsa.
Right.
Tries to make it on Juneteenth.
Yeah.
And then
had to move it. Mm-hmm.
Then thought he was just going to come in and kill it.
Right.
And got the worst reviews because he joked around.
It's looking
and
like
he
a
thought
Cisco
that,
concert.
Yeah.
There.
I'm like, sir, do you understand that we're in a global pandemic and in the middle of, like,
just
everything going on?
4th of July, he held something and it was not required for you to wear a mask or social distance. This is the leader of the country.
Yeah.
This is mind boggling.
And he wonders why our numbers keep spiking.
Yeah.
Or why I'm having to fight people on Twitter to just say, please wear a mask.
Right.
I know it's a hard concept to care about anybody beside yourself.
And that's what we messed up, by telling people that wearing a mask was more about protecting the other person.
Yeah.
Yep. That exactly. So hopefully this conversation will galvanize, or what's the word I'm looking for? Will motivate you guys to go and vote this election year, because, and let me be clear, I'm not too thrilled over Joe Biden either. But at this point, you know, we have to make a choice. You know, I'm not too thrilled.
We
got to
take the sacrifice,
yes,
somewhere.
We need a total and I think we are here. I think America is going through a spiritual awakening.
They were saying America doesn't need a president. She needs some time.
We need a break. She needs to be single.
She needs to be single. Yeah. She needs to focus on herself.
Facts. But it's going through, as a country, are going through a spiritual thing. Just us being, think about it, like being confined in your home and having to stay with yourself all this time. And it's things that you hold dear to you, God will take away. I'm preaching. God will take away. People are losing their jobs. All the stuff that you run around, family members, that he's trying to warn us, wake up, people.
But
wake
somehow
up.
I feel like everybody has become more hateful.
Yeah. It's because they have
since all of this.
And it starts from the
because
head.
People are your afraid to be the in their own head.
Exactly.
They're being forced.
Facts. People, go vote. Do not repeat 2016, where 48% of the population did not get out and vote. Do not repeat 2016, where people were writing a gorilla's name in the ballot. So don't replace the gorilla with Kanye West.
Please,
this year.
We're begging.
Please. Get out and vote, okay? Your future, your kids, your future kids' futures depend on it. And just look at this. Look at our two candidates. Old. Yikes. 70 years old. White. Man, we are in 2020, and this is the options we have? All the brilliant people we have in this great country.
And we have...
And this is our two options. What does that say about us? So, with that, go out and vote. Rest in peace, Vanessa Guillen. And to the other ladies that Kelly mentioned, and so many more names that we don't have information about. Rest in peace to you. We need to do the work to change things, guys. We have to change things or else. And I'm not trying to be scary, but I really feel like it's an or else at this point. Or else. That's it for episode 52 of the All That Podcast.